Looking for your next favorite podcast? Start here.
The Wampanoag culture was an oral one. They passed down their stories from generation to generation through spoken language. This had been working just fine for centuries. But the one thing an oral tradition can't contend with is the decimation of continuity that comes with disease and war.
It's September 1973. A 28-year-old woman is home alone with her toddler when she hears a knock at the door. She ignores it, figuring it's some salesman or other. And then she hears a noise at the back of the house.
You have to be the best of the best to get into this group. And what they do is they specialize in finding missing and kidnapped children.
Featured samples today from Iconography, Man in the Window, and Textual Tension. Welcome to Start Here from Cincinnati Public Radio. I'm Trip Eldridge, your podcast jockey. Each week, we sample and highlight three podcasts to help you navigate the exploding podcast world and maybe find your next podcast obsession. Plus, get an email summary of each podcast we feature with our weekly Start Here email blast. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and select the Start Here blast email at the bottom of the page. And if you like what you hear, please rate us at Apple Podcasts. A 5-star rating will help others find us in the iTunes gallery. With special thanks to Cincinnati Public Radio's Wiser Advisors, Jim Nolan and Kevin Reynolds, and writing research and curation support from Connor Eldridge, let's start here. What do our cultural icons reflect about us? How do icons even become icons in the first place? These are the kinds of questions that pestered Charles Gustin, creator of our first podcast this week, Iconography. Iconography is a study of the icons that became inextricably linked with our culture, whether it's a person, a film character, a novel, a painting, or even a concept. Each episode explores a single icon that, in its own special way, has become synonymous with a place. Our icons say a lot about how we view the world around us, and Iconography has made it its mission to dissect these icons and figure out just what it is they're saying. Take a listen to this clip from the episode of Iconography covering the widely known but little-researched Native American figure, Squanto. As an American icon, Squanto is to Thanksgiving what the Easter Bunny is to Easter, mostly a symbol, but ever-present. This episode seeks to restore some humanity and agency to the man behind the symbol.
Practically nothing about Squanto's life before his abduction is known. That's because what we know about people from the 17th century comes from records. Letters, censuses, diaries, books, maps. Squanto's tribe didn't have any of these things because they didn't have a written language. There wouldn't be a Wampanoag written language until the 1660s when a white settler produced a Wampanoag translation of the Bible. The Wampanoag culture was an oral one. They passed down their stories from generation to generation through spoken language. This had been working just fine for centuries. But the one thing an oral tradition can't contend with is the decimation of continuity that comes with disease and war. A story needs storytellers. And so, instead, we are left to pore over a map. 1605, a French explorer, Samuel de Champlain, navigates the coast of what John Smith will soon call New England. He's inadvertently held up in what will become Plymouth Bay.
The wind being contrary, we entered a little bay to await a time favorable for proceeding. There came to us two or three canoes which had just been fishing for cod and other fish, which are found there in large numbers. Some of them came to us and begged us to go to their river.
Champlain does a little exploration of the bay 15 years before it becomes an English colony, and he draws a map. He doesn't just draw the land like John Smith would. His is a little picture of life on a summer day in Pawtuxet in 1605. Over here is a wetu, a dome-like longhouse with smoke billowing through a hole in the top. Eight of these wetuash dot the landscape, each surrounded by an ample patch of maize. Men with spears crowd the shore looking towards the sailing vessel, and a canoe plies the water. Somewhere in there is young Squanto, probably in his early to mid-20s. He likely lives in his mother's wetu. This is a matrilineal culture, with her extended family, all these families together within the massive round sanctuary created by saplings and cattail mats. In the winter, once the crops are harvested, they'll abandon this village and head a few miles inland, build wetuash from the bark of trees so large and so old, we just couldn't fathom them today. Had Champlain stopped by a few months later, in the winter, he would have seen nothing but an abandoned bay, which of course would have been bustling again by the spring. But by 1619, when Squanto returned from 5 involuntary years spent overseas, this would all be gone. Not because his people were 5 miles inland for the winter, but because his people had been beset by plague in his absence and had died or scattered to the wind. Pawtuxet was no more.
A sample from Iconography with Charles Gustine. Check out the storied past of some of the country's most prominent icons with Iconography, available now on WVXU's Podcast Central. New to the Podcast Central collection this week comes a collaboration between Wondery and the LA Times, Man in the Window, with new never-before-revealed details on the life of a man who'd go on to become one of California's most deadly serial killers. Man in the Window is a chilling journey through the path of devastation left by the Golden State Killer from the eyes of his victims. Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter Paige St. John has uncovered many new stories from those who knew him. Friends, families, detectives who pieced together his case over nearly 40 years, and even an ex-fiancée. The end result is a haunting journey through the dark impulses of a criminal mind and a better understanding of the man who terrorized the state for decades. Here's a snippet from the first episode of Man in the Mirror titled Phantom on the Fog. The episode introduces the many-named Golden State Killer and recounts the air of darkness that began to hang over the area with his presence. A warning, this clip contains some content that listeners may find disturbing. Discretion is advised.
But soon, peering in windows or hovering over women while they sleep isn't enough. It's September 1973. A 28-year-old woman is home alone with her toddler when she hears a knock at the door. She ignores it, figuring it's some salesman or other. And then she hears a noise at the back of the house. She sees a man at the window. He's already removed the screen to pry the window open, but he takes off around the house when he realizes he's been seen. She hurries to get her gun and frantically locks the doors and windows and puts the chain on the kitchen door. Next thing she knows, he's on the other side of that door, trying to break the chain. She's a few feet away, her gun raised. She shouts, "If you come any further, I'm going to shoot you." He backs off and she calls police. She thinks the worst is over. But that's when he makes a second push, breaking through the kitchen door. He rushes her, closing the distance so fast she can't move, and he grabs her hands, taking control of the gun. When police arrive, they find her on the floor. The gun fired high and the bullet missed her. She's alive, but passed out. And the prowler is gone.
A sample from Man in the Window from LA Times and Wondery. Hear the full untold story of one of the country's most infamous serial killers on The Man in the Window, now available on WVXU's Podcast Central. Our local feature this week is called Textual Tension, and it's a bi-monthly podcast that takes a deep dive into the vast world of romance novels. Each episode, one of your co-hosts, Rachel or Margie, will overanalyze, overthink, and summarize what the heck just happened in a romance novel of their choice. The other host will listen for the first time, along with you, as their co-host recounts unintentionally hilarious tales of passion and romance. So join Rachel and Margie on Textual Tension as they take you on a wild adventure into Atlantis, the Scottish Highlands, the world of steampunk, and many, many other romantic places. Check out this clip from a recent episode of Textual Tension called Wine and Punishment. This time, Rachel has pored over a new romance subgenre. Check out this clip from a recent episode of Textual Tension called Wine and Punishment. This time, Rachel has pored over a new romance subgenre, mystery action romance. She read Heartbreaker, a romantic thriller that got her completely hooked on the genre. In this clip, Rachel breaks down the main characters at the center of the mystery thriller action.
But that's like the only one that I've really read. So this was the first one that I finished, and it was really good.
Okay.
So, Laurent I know has brown eyes.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure she also has brown hair, and it should be mentioned she, at one point, did a little bit of modeling in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
So she's French.
Dang.
Yeah. She grew up in a convent in France. Catholicism is kind of a big theme in this book. So she grew up in a convent in France away from her
brother. Again, like the Da Vinci Code.
Right. Away from her brother and away from her family. Nick Buchanan is...
I love that last name.
It's a good name, right?
Yeah, it really rolls off the tongue.
So Nick Buchanan, because I did actually find his description. I was able to find his. He's tall, dark haired, tan, blue eyes. A quick sort of background on him, because it comes into play and it with my, the way I broke down the story, it doesn't really come into play in the story, but a good background for him. He is an FBI agent.
Mm-hmm.
He works for a special group called the Apostles, because there's 12 of them. And they specialize...
Wow, elitist, though.
Well, no, like, really. Like, you have to be the best of the best to get into this group. And what they do is they specialize in finding missing and kidnapped children. Okay. So they a lot of really cool, like, so it literally starts off with him talking with his boss, who's essentially a psychologist, of, hey, you had to kill someone in your last mission because they were holding a knife to a child's throat. How do you feel? Like, he does really awesome work as far as some of the really crazy, higher profile kidnappings and missing children cases.
Holy frick, frack, paddywhack.
Dude's sexy as shit. I know! All right, so, and because, I guess, because I had a little bit of background on him, a little bit of background on Laurent, she has a brother. So when her parents died, her and her brother were separated. She went to a convent and a girls' school in France, because there is a trust fund in her name that depended on her, like, when she grew up, she would get it, right? And it happened after her parents died.
Okay.
Her brother, Tommy, went on to become a priest in the States. So she was separated from him for most of her life.
Aww.
And they've recently reconnected.
So, that's so sad.
In a city in, like, Iowa, I think. It's either Iowa or Kansas. I can't remember. But, so they've reconnected. And they're really close now because they've been separated for so long. They're like, hey, we're family. Like, they're really close. So, there's background of both of them.
That's nice.
They have good backgrounds, right?
A sample of Textual Tension with Rachel and Margie. Check out this great local podcast to get an in-depth look into some of the best romance novels have to offer by true fans of the genre. That's Textual Tension, available on WVXU's Podcast Central Library. Chart time. Before we wrap up, let's visit the Apple Podcast charts to see what's hot around the country besides the weather. By the iTunescharts.net, we find two new podcasts have found their way to number one over the past few days. The first is The Three Questions by Andy Richter from Earwolf. Building on their massive success with Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, Earwolf introduces Conan's sidekick Andy Richter with The Three Questions. The other podcast hitting number one is Absolutely Not. Comedian Heather McMahon creates a safe space for us to tell all and bitch about the rest. That's Absolutely Not and The Three Questions with Andy Richter, both hitting number one. And to learn more about those and others, check out the Start Here email. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and choose the Start Here newsletter from the bottom of the page. Thank you for joining us for Start Here, Cincinnati Public Radio's Discovery Podcast. For more information about podcasts we like, check out Podcast Central at wvxu.org. And remember, if you've got a podcast or an episode you'd like to recommend, email us at podcast@wvxu.org or call us at 513-294-8030 and we'll add your voice to ours. For now, I'm Tripp Eldridge for Cincinnati Public Radio, and thank you for choosing to start here.